Today at the last day of COFO, representing IFSA, the International Forest Student Association, discussing a thematic topic of concern, climate change. I'm here today joined by Beth McNeil from the Canadian government. Thank you.
One of the great things about COFO is that it brings delegates and working professionals from many different fields and disciplines from all across the world. In your opinion, how important is international collaboration in attenuating the global threat of climate change?
So first of all, I'll introduce myself. I'm Beth McNeil, the Assistant Deputy Minister for the Canadian Forest Service. I would like to think that Canada is choosing to be a leader in addressing climate change, particularly the reduction of GHG emissions. And we have research scientists that are leaders in, for instance, carbon budget modeling. We have put an emphasis on the use of long-lived wood products as a way to sequester carbon and reduce GHG emissions. We are looking at supporting rural and remote communities to get off diesel and on to use renewable resources such as the forest biomass for bioheat and energy. So these are just a few examples where I think Canada, coming to an organization and presenting at COFO, we're sharing that knowledge. So the importance of knowledge exchange and sharing it with other countries, and hopefully at times learning from other countries and some best practices as well. So it's a long-term plan, but I think as a country we're taking our commitments under the Paris Agreement very seriously.
Okay. Excellent. That's very good to hear. Okay. So on to the next question.
Yeah.
The Pan-Canadian framework is a robust example of innovative policy that aims to sort of promote clean growth and tackle climate change. One of the main proponents covers the concept of pricing carbon pollution. How is Canada aiming to achieve this goal? Are you implementing a nationwide carbon tax, or are you opting for a market-driven emissions trading scheme?
So that's a two-part question, I think. First of all, under the Pan-Canadian Framework for Clean Growth and Climate Change, it was led by the federal government in Canada, Environment and Climate Change Canada, with several other ministries showing leadership, such as Natural Resources Canada and Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada, as a couple of examples. However, it's a document and it's an agreement signed on by our provincial and territorial orders of government as well. So it goes back to December 2016, it was officially launched. Central to that, the core piece, is the carbon pricing regime. And then you have other sector-driven pieces. For instance, the ag sector and forestry identifies actions at the provincial and federal level will take to help reduce GHG emissions. The carbon pricing regime starts this year in 2018, and what it is a $10 incremental increase a year, so $50 by 2022. For those jurisdictions that don't sign on to that, there's a federal, what we call a backstop, so the federal government will impose a pricing regime on carbon. So the other part of your question was the offsets. And in Canada, we have four provinces currently that are involved in either cap and trade or some form of offsets, provinces of British Columbia, Alberta, Quebec, and Ontario. And they're involved with California as well as some trading. But I think there's more work to do in Canada on the offsets and whether or not we can actually, different regions in Canada can develop an offset regime from a forest and a landscape perspective. So we're continuing to do work in that area.
Excellent. Thank you. And our final question. One of the key components of sustainable development is the notion of intergenerational equity. It is therefore evident that youth plays an important role in this process. How is Canada aiming to increase the participation of youth in the forestry sector?
I'm passionate about this. So I think, and I won't just focus on youth when I think about labor and capacity that we need along the full value chain from forest operations to final products. What I see happening is that, first of all, in many of our natural resource sectors, there's a labor shortage, both from technical skills but also kind of the intellectual thought leadership and innovation along the full chain. So Indigenous, the participation of our Indigenous peoples in Canada, women lag way behind in being involved in the forest sector, and then youth, of course. So what's happening is there are lots of jobs out there, but for some reason, and we have several forestry schools in Canada, for some reason, what I would call that pipeline along the value chain, we're losing some youth, or they're not seeing it as a good career to go into. So I think if we actually talk about all the pluses of the forestry sector and the low-carbon economy, I think it'll attract more youth. But once they're in the industry, whether it's government or private sector, we have to ensure that young people have the support and the network amongst each other to continue to learn and develop, and support to assume leadership positions, whether it's in government or a private industry. So I hope to make that a focus.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you very much. So on behalf of IFSA, we'd like to thank you very much for your time today.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.